Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Daryl. So I'm going to start us off and share just some things that the Lord put on my heart this week in particular. And the weight of it is quite heavy. And so my prayer is that as I share this with you, you will pick up the baton and run with it. And so let's pray first, and then I'll begin. So, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for our time together. I thank you for the wonderful praise reports. I thank you, Lord, for the seriousness of the hour. I thank you that you give us, Lord God, hope and inspiration and excitement about what you're doing as we go to prayer and as we seek your face and we see the importance of the hour and the impact our intercession has had in the earth. These are not just praise reports to excite people about events that they may not see on mainstream media. These are things we have prayed over to see you move, to see you move mountains in many cases. And so, Lord God, we thank you for what you've done, that you hear and you answer our prayers. And tonight, as we, as I try to convey what you have placed upon my heart, I just ask for the grace and I ask for God that you would open up each of our hearts to be able to hear and understand what you're saying, and that we would run this race with the seriousness and the tenacity that we must run this race with. I pray that you would settle things around us so that we can focus and we can hear what you have for us. I thank you, Lord. And I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor. In your name, amen. So, today, Mom called me and she was, we were talking about some things that we had prayed earlier, and I began to, and she started sharing with me about the gatherings and what God has promised, and I said, that's what I prayed last night, and she had to pull out a little bit earlier last night. That's why I prayed. And what she called to share with me, I had prayed. And it was just this uniting of what God was doing. And so as I shared a little bit more, I shared with her an experience I had. And it's just yesterday. It feels like it was so long ago, to be honest with you, but it was just yesterday. And she asked me to share it with you. So yesterday morning, the Lord woke me up at 3:17. And as you know, it was 9/11 yesterday. And when he woke me up, what was on my heart so heavy was this very heavy burden, actually, for the people. It's very heavy burden for the nation. And I sensed this great tearing and disunity in our nation, and we all know that this is taking place, but I felt it in my heart. I felt it in my spirit, man, this rending of the heart over this disunity that's in our nation right now. And when he woke me up, I heard this call, and it was a clarion call. And I originally was going to share this tomorrow, but Mom felt it was really important that I shared it today. So this clarion call to the watchman, and that's what he impressed on me. And as I began to wake up, that urgency and the grieving that I was experiencing increased even more. But that, you know, that reminder in the back of my head that it was 9/11, I knew that there was a great urgency, and it compelled me forward. But as I got up, I heard that call to go forth to the watchman on the wall. And it was a clarion call to awaken and stand on the wall. And I watched as intercessors were called out of their slumber. Some tried to roll over and go back to sleep, but the call sounded again. It was an alarming sound, an emergency, that 911 call for the hour is at hand. And that weight on my heart, it hasn't lifted, but it's increased as the hours have passed. And you know, it is that time for us to rise and take our place. And victory is on the horizon, and I firmly believe that, but it's crucial we don't take it for granted, because God is working with his people to do a work in the land. And it's deeper than politics, although it is connected to politics. The work is deeper, and it has to go deeper. And we've got to stand on the gap and declare the word of the Lord over the nation. And so I looked up, you know, Watchmen, of course, we know Ezekiel 3:17. And even as I, you know, began to write this out, that correlation between the time the Lord awakened me at 3:17 in the morning and this scripture, it didn't escape me. Ezekiel 3:17 says, "Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." And as I shared, when the Lord sounded the call, I saw many asleep on their watch, and he is beckoning. He knows we're weary. He knows the fight seems overwhelming, but he is sounding the alarm to arise and fight for our land. And last week, I'd spoken on the importance of occupying, but the church is not occupying as we should. We're called to be people of prayer and people of the word, and we're called to influence the nation, but we're stumbling and faltering on our commission. And as I talked to Mom, we talked about the Great Awakening and the revival, and I'm going to share a little bit of that in a little while, but I wanted to share with you what we're fighting against. And if you remember the vision the Lord gave me about the fractured church, and that church that was so, and I think it was back in July, the end of July, July 23rd, that he had given me that vision of the fractured church that was crawling across the field, and every part of that man that was crawling across the field was fractured. Every bone was broken. Every, you know, his vision was impaired because of the compromise. His hearing was completely off because he had listened to wrong advice, and he had heeded the world over God. He was literally crawling on the ground across the field, just trying to survive. And the Lord was there, waiting for him to look up to him, waiting to call the church up, waiting for that moment. And when the church finally looked up and locked eyes with the Lord, it compelled him forward. And as mom and I talked about that, and we talked about these few things that I'm going to share with you, I told her, I said, the number one issue with the church today that is causing that man to be fractured, that church to be fractured and not be the heart of the nation, not be the strength, the barometer, the plumb line, whichever label you want to give the church today, what the number one issue is, the issue of life, the issue of abortion. We have entered into such a compromise on this issue that the church is, it's not effective anymore in the nation. The RNC, for the first time, has released its policy, its platform policy. And in that platform policy is basically to protect life after 15 weeks. They want a 15-week ban so that abortions beyond 15 weeks can't take place. And people are blaming President Trump for that, but it's not his fault. 30%. And I'm going to do this contrast because I think it's important for us to understand something. 30% of white evangelicals believe that abortion should be legal in any situation up to a certain amount, like 15 weeks or the second trimester. 70% of black evangelicals believe abortion should be legal in every case. 70%. 30% of white. Why is it important to note? Because they really targeted the pastors in those churches. Planned Parenthood did. And if you will get the book 1916 Project, and see the film when it comes out, you'll understand that more. It's a Margaret Sanger, it's a film about Margaret Sanger and her agenda. But the church's stance on abortion has become so watered down, it's fractured the church. And it has affected our nation. We want to know why there's apathy? It's because we've embraced the murder of our children. You want to know why we don't have revival in the church, but we have revival in universities? Some churches that are pressing in, some churches that are active pro-lifers, some churches, they're experiencing it. But why is it happening in universities? Because God is moving in the unchurched. Why? Because the church is compromised right now. Why is the RNC releasing a platform like they did this year? Because the church has weakened their platform on the issue of life. Where are the watchmen? Where are they? Why aren't we crying out to God to awaken the church? Why aren't we ourselves? Speaking to the church. I believe part of our occupation, really, when we pray over the church, is to decree and declare that they will come to understand the issue of life in the womb. You know, when President Trump in 2020 when he did his State of the Union address. And if you can remember, and we all should remember this one so clearly, he said that all life should be protected from the moment of conception. You know, they're given that speech ahead of time. Pelosi was given that speech ahead of time. And when she read that, she instructed her little cronies, sorry, that wasn't nice, but you know what I mean, to all wear white. Why? To depict the suffrage of women. Because this man was going to say all life should be protected from the moment of conception. That's the stance, that's the heart of President Trump. But it, since his time in office, what does he face time and time again? A church that does not stand behind that statement. And a Republican Party that is supposed to represent conservative values no longer stands on a policy of protecting life from the moment of conception. Where are the watchmen? Are they sounding the alarm? Are we occupying our posts? Are we fighting to unify this country? On 9/11, one of the things that took place on 9/11, and I remember so clearly because our ministry, you know, Mom has, she released the book Prepare for the Winds of Change in the late 80s. And she traveled for the 90s speaking on that book, Prepare for the Winds of Change, because it spoke to the judgment that was coming, the judgment of God that was coming upon America. And when 9/11 hit, we saw this change in our country, where people went to church. In fact, pews were filled. People seeking God. There was a unity in our country. We couldn't keep that book on our shelves because people were ordering it by the box full. People were seeking God. Just prior, the Lord called Mom to do the work of the gatherings. And he said, if you will do the work of the gatherings, and the gatherings, for those of you that don't know, is a time of deep repentance, facing the sins of this nation and doing identificational repentance on behalf of the nation, much like Daniel did in Daniel chapter 9. If you will do the work of the gatherings, I will send revival instead of war. I will send revival. The mercy of God to see the sin of abortion that rested upon this nation, the sin of slavery, the sin of human trafficking, the sin of destabilization of nations, the sin against the First Nations people, and give us the privilege to weep before him, that he would hear our prayers, and instead of sending that judgment of war, he would send revival that would heal the land. That's mercy. And because I believe she carried the burden of the contents of prepare for the winds of change, even though she wrestled with that call, just thinking that she couldn't do it, you know. But I believe it was in her because she saw and she lived and she walked out for 10 years the contents of prepare for the winds of change. The Lord knew she would answer. And she would give anything and everything to stay that hand of judgment that she saw so vividly. And bring, be a part of birthing revival in our nation instead. And she and I talked about revival and the awakening that he released January of last year, and I was sharing with her, I've seen it. If people could just grasp it, they would cry out to God on behalf of these things that are keeping the church from being effective. The watchmen would rise up and they would weep and roar until we saw these things overturned. And if you could see what God is going to do as revival pours out through the land, how he will heal the very soil we walk on. And we will see life come from a barren land. How he will heal our children and unify our families. How the church will walk together as one. How that love for our fellow man, that is what will take crime down. How our love how his presence will penetrate invading the heart so profoundly we will weep at the thought that the Word of God was removed from the classroom. We will groan at the thought that prayer was banned from the classroom. And the movement of God will restore the quest for God. Azusa Street. That's the awakening, you know. People are awakened to who God is. Azusa Street was birthed by a rejected preacher and a couple of intercessors who refused to back down when God said, I'm about to move, seek my face. And the prayers that took place in that little house became so fierce, flames were seen upon the roof. The fire department came out. Because they thought the house was on fire. But it was God. The flames of revival were moving. Children who at one point just wanted to toss a ball in the field came into the church and rolled around in the cloud, His glory, being immersed in His presence. There wasn't just physical miracles. The nation was healed in many ways. The land was healed in many ways. There was unity in our fellow man. The bond of peace. The awakening spread in a time when there were no airplanes to 60 nations in 2 years. And if you think how many millions and millions of souls came to the Lord through the awakening, all over the world, God moved. And you know, you think, well, didn't World War II happen after that? Yeah. World War I, sorry. And then the Spanish flu. Then World War II. But I want to ask you, how many of those souls would have gone to hell were it not for Azusa Street and that mighty outpouring that was birthed from the intercessors? God wants to bring unity back into our nation. The cabal will continue to try to divide, to conquer, but God wants to bring unity. And He wants to restore our nation. He wants to bring conservatism back into our land. He wants to heal our land. Literally heal the soil of our land. He wants to heal our youth. I've seen the beauty of what He's going to do in our youth, in dreams and in visions. I've seen entire cities literally be covered in gold, depicting an excellence that rises from what God is doing. It's an excellence that's birthed out of a move of God. His glory just so permeates every way of life. And we're so close. So close to this, I could almost touch it. But let me tell you,
I say this to the watchmen. We cannot abandon our post. This is a call to the watchmen. Stand your guard like Nehemiah as they rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem with a sword in one hand and a hammer and a chisel in the other. They had to stand their guard because Sanballat and his crew were continually trying to destroy the work they were doing, sending out men who would kill them if they could. They had to, with the watchman on the wall, sounding the alarm if someone were to come between the two builders. We have about 8 weeks, 7.5, 8 weeks before the election. And the Sanballats or the media, they're going to continue with their lies and their deceptions. But we, the watchmen, must continue to pray it down, pray into this. And I've got to tell you once again, we must pray for the church because the church must arise. We can't expect a president to be the answer. He's not our pastor. And we can't expect him to be the answer on the issue of life, although his endorsement of the issue of life is critical. But if the church will arise and take her place as a beacon of light, sounding, bellowing, the call that life begins at conception. It will turn our nation into the nation, a pro-life nation, one that says, that cries out, life at conception. And I'll close with this, a reminder of the vision the Lord gave me. Where there was a pregnant woman in the middle of the country. I shared this just a couple weeks ago when I gave a message on life and what the Bible says about life in the womb and what science says about life in the womb. And there was a pregnant woman in the middle of the country. And there was a serpent that was whispering, you can't do this. It's too much. That guy will leave you. You'll never finish your education. And it was representative of every thought that goes through a single pregnant woman's mind when she's faced with this decision. And these days, even married women. And he was provoking such fear in her. But the people of God began to encircle her round and round and round. And it pushed the serpent back, 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 back until he could not get in and reach her. And we so encircled this woman that circle reached out to the very boundaries of our country. And a banner appeared over our nation, life at conception. And this begins with the church rising up and picking up the banner, sounding the alarm, being the watchman, and crying out that we would be a nation that protects life. For the intercessors, we pray for the pastors that God will speak to them until their hearts are gripped with the truth. Because even the church will not be healed. It will be that fractured church. Until they embrace what God's word has to say about life in the womb. These are pre-born citizens that we must protect. Our most innocent. I really believe that all of this, this 911 call to the watchman, it's also intricately connected that we understand and we embrace the seriousness of the hour, because his glory will be poured out, and I mean really poured out, and immerse our children. It's really connected. It's truly connected. I believe that 2025 will be a year of the watchman. And it's going to be a marker in time for our nation. If his people will rise up and answer the call. To be that watchman. If I may share just one more thing. And forgive me. I know that I've cried through most of this, but it's so deep. When Reagan became president, he was, I believe he won 49, if not all 50 states. We had just gone through, just scraping back together life after the biggest crash since 1929, the stock market crash. Communism was building in Europe. And God really had assigned Reagan to be pivotal in bringing down that Berlin Wall so that communism could not succeed and take out Europe in the 80s. Because that was the plan. But in the midst of crisis, in the midst of economic crisis, in the midst of all the chaos and the, you know, even then was the Iran hostages. It was a lot. But in 1983, and I believe this came because of the unification of our nation, he passed a proclamation declaring 1983 the year of the Bible. This passed the House, it passed the Senate, and it was proudly signed by Reagan, recognizing the Bible as instrumental, pivotal in the founding of our nation and the development of our nation and our nation's laws. The House, the Senate, the President. And he encouraged the people of our nation to read the Bible every day and to take those precepts and apply them in their lives. And their interaction with their fellow man. Crisis birthed a unification of our nation. And I believe that we are in a time right now, a crisis of conscience in the heart of the church on the issue of life. And if we'll just get it together and let God break our hearts, He will awaken the church to the truth. And that church, that fractured church, will rise up as that warrior that I saw, and lead the charge in the fight for life, and actually have the privilege of being a part of the Great Awakening. Being a part of it. But again, it starts with the watchman. Will you stand with us and be the watchman? In this critical time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the burden that we have the privilege to carry. It's a burden that we have a privilege to carry. And I ask, Lord God, that you would, in your great mercy, move upon your people to be willing to walk with you and carry this burden for our most innocent. Carry the burden for this nation. Carry the burden for the church, carry the burden alongside you, O God. Give us your grace. I thank you, Lord, for awakening our hearts to your heart, for awakening our minds to your mind, that we would see and we would hear and we would feel and we would experience it as you do, O Lord. Because if we did, we would be so deeply broken, we would not get off the floor until we have wept every tear on behalf of our children. I thank you, Lord. Your love so great. Your mercy so great. Thank you, Lord. In your name. Amen.